All right, welcome in to a new Buff Stampede Radio. We're live again this week with Adam Munster Tiger, myself, and our football analyst, William Gardner, trying to get some folks to be able to join the live here before we go too in-depth on it. So, William, let's start out with the semifinals of the college football playoffs. We finished our last show. And I asked you if you were Indiana's biggest fan, and you pretty much confirmed that you were that day. You must have been having a good time watching that football game.
Yeah, I just wait. I was kind of hoping that Cignetti would come out in the second half and keep pouring it on. I wanted to get to 70. But it was pretty fun. You know, the Oregon got it. The Technicolor Jackwagons got a couple of scores late and made it look more respectable than it actually was. But it's fun to see Dan Lanning get his teeth kicked in because he deserves it more than anybody I ever saw. And it's funny to me because with all their money and all the players they buy, he still doesn't understand how to put together a championship football team the way Cignetti does, because they don't have anything that they stand for.
Yeah, I believe that was the most lopsided loss of his time there at Oregon. So, they did a few points there late, it was a pretty embarrassing showing.
Seems like the margin gets bigger each year that they keep getting beat worse. But, you know, it's like if they bring in these guys and they his I don't know. I just keep thinking of him jumping in that swimming pool, and that's kind of the kind of teams he had, you know. They're not tough. They're pussies, you know, and they come and they play. You teams play with the mentality and the personality of their head coach, and he's a weasel. And so they're weasel teams, you know, so you punch them in the mouth and they fold up like a cheap suit. Wait a minute. That's not even a good analogy. I guess a cheap suit would fold up. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Indiana's favored by 8.5 going into the national championship game against Miami. I honestly thought it might be like 10.5, like, way they put it on Oregon. I think I'm going to pull for Miami. I was a Hurricanes fan as a kid in the early 90s. But I'm not going to go into that game feeling very confidently about their chances.
Yeah, I don't know. I go back to the 80s. I was not a big Hurricanes fan myself. I look at it now and their attitude kind of appeals to me now. It kind of bugged me back then. You know, Warren Sapp he was Miami. Yeah. So I don't know. I'd like to see somebody different win the damn thing. So it'd be fun to see Indiana win it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we get into Jordan Seaton, because we got to diagnose that.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. That is a thing. And we've got 11 guys to talk about. From the transfer portal committee into the Buffalo since our last show just this past Friday. We've got a prep quarterback signee or commit for 2026. But the most recent news is Demetrius Hunter, who started at center for Houston the past 2 years, is on board with the Buffaloes. William, there was some hope that this 5-for-5 ruling would get through that would allow Alejandro Mata, Azarian McGill, you know, some other guys, I'm blanking on a couple other guys, Kareem Harden, that would be able to come back and play. But it sounds like they're going to decide to go with a 9-game redshirt rule, which makes no sense to me. They say it's a compromise. Just go 5-for-5. I know it might limit a few opportunities for high school kids this cycle, but you did far worse to high school kids back during the COVID pandemic. Those kids were having a hard time finding spots because people just kept getting eligibility year after year. So I don't like this compromise. Go 5-for-5 or keep it the way it is. And the way it is right now is not great, but 9 games is silly.
Does that mean that would rule out McGill?
It does. If that's what they decide on, it's not official yet, but it's starting to look more and more like that 5-for-5 is not going to go through this offseason.
Wouldn't Harden get the extra year because of the JUCO rule?
That was last year. I don't know if they're doing that again this year. It's eligibility is a mess in college football.
Well, they're so
that's
full
kind of what, that, that's kind of why this 9-game stuff, it's like, let's stop playing games. Let's use common sense here.
Well, all the rules are so full of crap, and they always benefit those who have, and they never help those who don't. Like, you know, the rules ought to be beneficial to people, to guys like McGill and Harden, who bust their ass and work hard and are looking for that extra year, not you know, for the wrong reasons, but for the right reasons, you know. But they never seem to do that. Like, they screwed Tyler Brown 2 years ago, you know. But I don't know. I think it's too bad. But I think getting back to, you know, Demetrius Hunter will come in and be our starting center, and then we got to work on backup. But Hunter, I think, is I would love to see a competition between him and Zarian McGill and see who comes out on top of that, because they're very similar players. I think Hunter is a little more powerful, and I think McGill is a little more technician. But Hunter started the last two seasons at center for Houston. And I was mentioning this, I was thinking this morning that this is the second time they've given us a big man for the center of one of our lines, because we got Block Bully from there too a couple years ago. So I'm excited about what Hunter brings to the table, and I think he fills that center spot nicely. And then we just got to work on a little depth behind him.
Yeah, would you say Yaya Atiyah is probably the top candidate? Yeah, I mean, he'll be in the mix to start at guard, but as things look right now, if McGill's not able to come back and play for the Buffaloes in 26, would you say Atiyah is the most suited in terms of skill set on this roster to be number two?
It's him or Gooden. I think he and Gooden have both done. Chauncey Gooden played center as well as guard in high school, so he's done it in actual games, so that's an advantage. Yaya's been practicing there a lot, and is a big, powerful dude. I don't think we can go wrong with either one of them. Ben Gula, incoming freshman, has played a lot of center, and I think they want to put him at center anyway, and I think he's close to being physically ready. He'd need work on technique or whatever. And I think Jose Soto's a guy that could play there as well. He's never played center, but moving one step inside, we'd have to see if he can snap and move. But those would be the names that would come to my mind.
Yeah, no, it's a good get here for the Colorado Buffaloes on Wednesday morning, kind of filling in some gaps. And I know this was a tough beginning to the week with the news of Jordan Seaton heading in the portal. I'm going to let you share your thoughts here, William, kind of what your initial reaction was and kind of how that's how it's been sitting here the last couple of days for you.
Well, I think somebody mentioned somebody on the, oh god dang it. Oh, sorry. Was I still there the whole time?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
I got you.
Yeah, somebody mentioned in the chat that Soto's played only right guard. I'm aware of that, but what I'm saying is he's got the right build and body shape for it. And I do think that some guys can play center, some guys can't, but you know, haven't played quite a bit at that right guard, I think he's a candidate to be looked at for center. I think those 6'7" guys, 6'6" and such, have a little more trouble with center, but Soto is just another guy I think we could throw in the mix there to take a look at in spring and try and get as much depth as we can. That's all I'm saying about that. But I think the thing with Seaton, I think I mentioned this on the board. I think what is so painful about it to most of us is that we thought he was different. We thought that he was a true Buff loyal guy, and I got to say, you know, he looks like an idiot. Okay, because a year ago he was talking trash about Cash Cleveland leaving and saying there's no loyalty, blah blah blah. And now he does the same damn thing. So he's a hypocrite. And I think he was kind of a canny ass pussy about it too. He didn't just stand up and say, "Hey, I'm leaving. You know, I want to go get more money." Stand up and be a man. Say what you mean. You know, don't sneak out the back door 10 days later. You know, after you have the our media department make a video for you, and then you use it in a way that you didn't tell them you were going to use it. But I think that there are a lot of things about it that really just smell bad. And I think we all thought Jordan Seaton was going to be another guy. Here's another thing, you know, for 2 years, he's been saying, if you want to be a dog, come and play for Colorado, come and play for a coach that looks like you. Well, I guess that wasn't true either. And I would say that means he's not a dog. So, you know, by his own terminology, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of things about it that just make it smell bad and feel bad and whatever. You know, I was pretty heated about it in the moment, you know, when it happened the other night.
I think a lot of people were, understandable.
Yeah. Cause it just sort of came out of nowhere. And I don't know, you know, if it felt dishonest, it felt like you were being lied to. I don't know. It's like, you know, a lot of guys leave and they go and they're like, okay, well, that's that. But this kind of felt like a friend letting you down, which may sound stupid, but that's how I feel about it. You know, I've never met the kid, but it just felt like this is a guy that said a lot of things and didn't mean any of them.
If he entered the transfer portal day one on January 2nd, do you think your feelings towards this would have been different at all? A little bit?
A little bit, but I still think that there's all those things that he said, you know, last year about Cash Cleveland, about playing for Colorado and Coach Prime. And I don't know, one of the things that kind of occurs to me in the aftermath that I didn't really think about before was, you know, he never once stood up and took any kind of leadership role in this program, even though he's one of the best players on the team. And I grant that he was a younger guy, but he, you know, I don't know, Taufik Bayard was a sophomore and brand new, and he took a leadership role. So I don't know. I think it still would feel like a sense of betrayal, even if he did it on day one, you know.
Yeah. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You know, I think there were a lot of Colorado fans that were already looking forward to that 27 draft and, you know, having Colorado represented in the first round again, like we had with Travis Hunter getting drafted early by the Jaguars. I don't think Jordan Seaton's a bad guy. I think he's a young guy that's being pushed in a lot of directions, different directions, and didn't handle this as well as he could have or should have. And it's going to kind of ruin his legacy at Colorado, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I don't think he cares about that, but I do think that, you know, the, like a lot of young guys, you know, he spouted off about a lot of stuff, and what he realized is things change. You know, what's important to you now is maybe different from what was important to a year ago. And he mouthed off about other people, and now he looks like an idiot, you know, which goes back to the old saying, keep your trap shut, you know, or better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Right. But, I don't know. He makes me, and the other thing is it puts a different spin in the last three games of the season. Quite clearly, he quit. You look at a guy like Zarian McGill, who played all 12 games, man, and he was nursing through stuff and fighting through stuff and had nicks and bumps and whatever. Never complained, never missed a game, barely missed a play that I can remember, right? You know, and he was frankly a better lineman than Seaton was. Yep. But people don't give him a lot of love because he quietly did his damn job, you know, and he did it damn well. And so he gets screwed by the NCAA, and the other jack wagon takes his freaking Maybach and goes and makes a bunch of dollars. So I don't know. Whole thing kind of makes you feel slimy in some sort of way. I just don't know. But that being said, I don't think it's a huge loss to us. And I know people probably think, well, that's crazy or it's sour grapes or whatever, but, we're moving to an entirely different offense. And, you know, the value of a Jordan Seaton to a team is to protect the backside of a guy like Shador Sanders, right? And we're not playing that offense anymore. You know, we're not going to have a guy drop back and stand there for 3 seconds trying to find an open receiver. We're going to have an attacking, more run-oriented offense. And so I think that lessens the need for, you know, NFL-level pass-protecting left tackle, because that's not what we're going to do. And I do think we got a lot of the other thing about it is you look at Jordan Seaton, and it was interesting to me, you know, I went into last season with very high hopes for him, and he kind of disappointed me in his run blocking substantially. I think his pass protection was everything I hoped it would be, but he really wasn't very good at run blocking and didn't seem to try that hard. And what really made it stand out to me was having Xavier Hill next to him, who was a road grader, man, and who had an attitude about run blocking, you know. And you watch that compared to Seaton, you're like, well, you'd want a guy that's a first round draft pick to have a little more dog in him than that, I would think. But I think this hurts more from the perception, outside perception perspective, maybe.
I agree with you.
Losing the five star, you know, people go, oh, look, man, things are coming apart at CU. I kind of don't feel that way. I kind of feel like this portal has gone really damn well and things are looking up, you know, and we got a couple of guys that I think can step into that spot. And I think if we get the kid from Texas, Brooks, I think, right? Big kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be, Brooks to me is every bit the prospect that Jordan Seaton is. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we get that kid. But even without, you know, let me roll down here real quick, and I haven't learned everybody's name yet, the new guys. I think Taj White, I think Javon Richardson, I think Bo Hewley, I think all three of those guys are possibilities. I was hopeful that Kareem Harden would get another year, because I think Kareem Harden to me is another thing. He represents to me what I love about college football, right? Because 3 years ago when he came in, I was like, that guy can't play. And you know what? He busted his backside, and he made a difference in that first year, and he made a difference in that second year. And then last year, he really stepped in and did a great job, and he's become a really good offensive lineman, you know?
Yeah.
Made me look wrong, and based on just on his hard freaking work. And that's a forever Buff, man. Been here 3 years. Did everything he was asked to do, didn't piss and moan, didn't ask for more, and is trying to come back, you know? So I know, you know, a lot of us are disappointed in the game of college football, but man, Zarian McGill and Kareem Harden are what's good about this sport to me, you know?
Yeah. Good stuff there. There are a lot of guys that have transferred into this program or that are in the program that have a lot of experience at right tackle. A few guys that have had a few starts on the left side. You mentioned some of the guys that might be potential candidates to replace him. I would imagine, especially having some more NIL budget to play with now with Seton on the move, that they'll try to make a run at a tackle. Brooks would be a great addition, as you said. I would imagine the pickings are pretty slim at this point, and that's probably part of the frustration with the 10-day delay in Seton's entrance into the portal, right?
Yeah, and I feel confident that Coach Prime and offensive line coaches had to at least suspect this was coming and had to plan for it in advance. You know, I've coached a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of tackles, and some of them can switch from right to left and some of them can't. And it may seem like an easy thing, but actually it's an entirely opposite thing. So if you're a right tackle, you drop with your right foot and your first contact is with your left hand. And if you're a left tackle, it's the opposite. You got to drop with your left foot and make first contact with your right hand. And some guys can't make the switch. You know, I don't know if it's left brain, right brain. That's way too smart stuff for me, but it's just like some guys can't snap and move at the same time, you know. But a few of these guys I know have played some left tackle. I think Taj White and Bo Hewley have played some left tackle. Maybe Javon Richardson, I know. Well, now I'm getting them all confused. I know Bo Hewley started a couple games at left tackle.
Yeah.
So we've got some guys that have played at left tackle. Hewley for sure has played both sides for Georgia. And, you know, people may say, well, you know, he wasn't that good. He didn't start at Georgia. Well, you know, they're stacked three deep and five stars on their offensive line, man. Yeah. If you don't start at Georgia, it doesn't mean you suck. You're probably still the best lineman here. So,
yeah, and he saw plenty of action there too.
Right.
It's not like he didn't get on the field. Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw that video of him post-game in that one game. And you know, that guy is what you want in your locker room, because dudes love that guy, man. And he's a team guy, and he's positive, and he's not going to come in and piss and moan and complain about this. That he's just going to show up and be happy. He's a Tyler Brown with more talent, is what I see.
Yeah. So I remember driving back after covering the Arizona State game at Folsom Field, the final regular season game, senior day. And I was at a stoplight and just real quick checked the message board and saw that Jordan Seaton had been named the Buffalo Heart Award winner. I was like, man, there are a lot more. This is back when he was not assumed to be in the portal. I suggested on our message board, William, yesterday that there needs to be a stipulation with this award going forward, that if you hit the portal, it gets rescinded. Like the Zarian McGill, you mentioned, Xavier Hill, Ben Finneseth, gosh, who else? You got some other guys that would be candidates. Arden Walker would have been a better
Buffalo
Heart Award winner.
It's all voted on by that one section of fans right behind the bench, you know, and I think they tend to lean towards the most biggest name, famous guy, you know, because if you look at what the award is supposed to be about, which is overcoming hardship and being having grit and toughness and whatever, you know, Seton wasn't any of those things, man. You know, the guy, you know, Ben Finneseth or Zarian McGill or even Taufik Byard, you know, but I don't know. Travis Hunter was an obvious, clear guy. I mean, you know, Travis over, you know, people think, well, everything's easy for Travis. Well, remember he got mugged and cheap shotted and he had to come back from that and played like 10,000 plays a game and still kept coming. I mean, he's the, and he loved this place and he loved this team. And that's, I think is really what you ought to be looking for more so in that award. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm not a voter for it. So I probably keep my trap shut, but I've never been known for keeping my trap shut.
So if you had a vote, let's go Jeremiah Brown, Zarian McGill, and Ben Finneseth. Which of those three would you vote for?
Jeremiah Brown. I would have voted for Zarian McGill, given what my knowledge of how much he played through. Although Jeremiah Brown, though, man, there's a guy who just stuck and stuck and stuck and kept grinding. That's a damn good option too. You know, that's a forever buff right there, dude. Stuck here 3 years, thought about leaving once and didn't. You know, Jeremiah Brown's another guy, I think, because wasn't all conference and, you know, NFL, whatever, that he's kind of forgotten by people, but he's a guy that you know, lives and bleeds in black and gold and is a CU guy, man. I mean, he's another one like McGill and Harden, you know, that he's the kind of guy we love and sport for, you know?
Yep.
So I think when people think everybody's a mercenary now, they're not, man. We got guys on this team who have shown opposite than that.
It's true. It just, you focus on the negative. That's right. Human nature a lot of the time. But it is more difficult to be a college football fan in 2026, though. You got to admit that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I grew up with a sport where, you know, it was hard to transfer, you know, and you had to sit out a year and blah, blah, blah. So guys came in and stayed 4 years, 5 years, or they quit. I don't know, you know. And you got to know them and you learned their personalities. You saw how hard they worked. And what was fun was watching guys develop over years, you know. And that's what's fun about Kareem Harden to me is he got better, man, you know. And there's still some of that in the game. But for the most part, you know, you got guys that are going to be here a year. You know, people say, well, recruit more high school guys. Well, what the hell? They don't stay. You know, but I still think I was talking, you know, on our board today was saying that, I don't know, it's still kind of fun to me these last couple of weeks, seeing all the names, the new names, and then watching them in the weight room in the winter and watching them in spring ball, seeing who steps up. I don't know. I still kind of enjoy it. It's still a lot of fun to me. It's almost more fun to see a whole new bunch of guys come in because then you get to have a new hope for the season, you know. And while I'm on it, there's a lot of people on board on our
chat
talking about one of the reasons why it's different this year is Brennan Marion. I agree with you 100% because that guy brings an offense that's going to be a whole different ball game, and I don't think people fully understand the importance of that. Plus, he's got that dog, kind of that Cignetti, you're going to, you know, like wide receivers, you ain't coming out here to be pretty. You're coming out here to block and play the damn game, you know, and that's kind of funny because he's going to have the best group of wide receivers we've had. Well, since 2 years ago for sure. But he got a bunch of race cars out there, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've got some skill talent on this roster. There's no doubt about it. One last point here, William, and then we'll start breaking down these 11 guys that have joined the program, because let's spend more time talking about the guys that are coming in. What were you going to say?
The one thing I want to say before I forget, though, is that this offense is also very offensive line friendly. Okay. You're not asking guys to go one-on-one. It's primarily zone blocking, which is very easily taught and very friendly to the line. You're not asking them to pass protect a whole lot in the traditional sense. More play action. So I think this is very offensive line friendly. And I like a lot of guys we brought in on the offensive line.
Yeah. One point I want to make, William, is that I am very pro player, and but I'm also pro stability, which college football does not have right now. You talked about back in the day, it was tough to transfer because you had to sit out a year. And if you'd already used your red shirt, I mean, that's a full year of eligibility that you're just flushing down the drain. Before the transfer portal came into existence, I can't count the number of times, I should say, that I talked to a Colorado football player that was a senior, and I'd kind of talked to them about their journey. And many of them had that moment early in their career when they felt like they wanted to go somewhere else. When you're a young person, you're a little bit more apt to move around. Change is not as scary to you at that age. Well, and impatience is not there either, because you haven't spent as many days on this earth. So it feels like every day is more important than as you get older. It's like they kind of run into each other. What's that?
Well, so, and that makes me think of, this is a memory from back in the mid-80s. When I was in the program, and defensive line coach was Ron Vanderlinden, who went on to become a head coach somewhere. But he was talking to a guy that was a defensive tackle, was a freshman, you know, and it was a fall camp, and they were after practice. And for some reason, I was late walking in, I overheard some of this, and the kid's like, "Well, geez, coach, man, you were all loving me and being nice to me and everything else. Now you're yelling at me all the time." And Coach Vanderlinden looked and said, "That was recruiting, son. This is football." You know, and so, you know, a lot of guys would come in and be like, "Wow, it's a little bit surprising. You know, these guys are hard asses." And and I don't think most people, if you haven't played the sport at the Power Four, Power Five level, you don't understand what the demands are in season of these guys, because it's all damn day, and I mean 12 hours or more between meetings and practice and class and everything else that goes into it, and it's a grind. You know, a lot of these guys, I think everybody at some point reaches a point where like, "This sucks. I don't want to do this. I'm not playing."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but of all those guys, William, that told me they thought about it, they were all just happy they stuck through that adversity. And those are a lot of the faces you see come back to Boulder that are revered, and fans love them, and they are a buff for life. And, maybe it doesn't matter for Jordan Seaton and some of these guys.
Right.
We're both very loyal guys that sometimes put that over money. So we're wired a little bit differently that way. But like to me, like being able to come back to Boulder and have that as part of your legacy and be revered and, you know, be able to take pride in what you helped accomplish there is so much more important than one year of NIL money when Jordan Seaton, he could take insurance out this year. He's going to make a lot of money down the road.
Right. And I think you know, you get to be my age, 61, and you have, that's what wisdom is, I guess. You've been through all that crap and you learned it. And I think back to Marine Corps boot camp, and I swear to God, halfway through, I thought I was going to die. I couldn't make it, but they don't let you quit. Right. But then you get through and you spend your time and you become close with dudes, man, you know, and somebody was talking about like these forever buffs get together for tailgates and they're best friends 30 freaking years later, man. And, you know, you come back here and people recognize you and they know you and you're part of the community. And, you know, look at how many guys have come to play at CU from places all over the country, you know, inner cities or whatever, and stayed here afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And ended up living in a place that's entirely different from what they grew up in. And, you know, at 19, you don't understand the value of that, you know? And so you go chasing a few bucks right now, or I don't know, maybe you think you're going to go win more games somewhere, but you don't realize the value of having a Coach Prime on your side, you know, or in my case, a Bill McCartney, you know? I used to get out before practice and play catch with Les Miles, you know, who went on to become a very, and you know, he tried to throw it as hard as he could and break my hands. but you know, and then Jim Caldwell was another one, you know, I'd get out and play catch with him. He ended up being a Super Bowl winning coach for the Colts, you know, and you don't understand that stuff at the time. So I don't mean to be the old guy waxing nostalgic here, but here I am.
No, it's good. It's good. We could just have a very depressed show, but there's too many positive things also happening with this program right now for that to be the case.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things positive. I think overall, well, I'm not even overall. I don't have to qualify it. I think things are going great right now. You know, and
all
I
right,
think
well,
keep getting better.
Did you did your fan sponsorship money run out back there, William?
What's that? Oh, I don't know. I'm not hot today. You know, I got my Navy got my Navy shirt on here, and I don't know, not hot.
All right. I think I figured out the go ahead.
I'm a pretty simple guy, man. You know, when I'm hot, I turn a fan on. When I'm not hot, I don't. Now, somebody wants to give me $5 a minute to run the damn thing, I'll run it.
Well, I think I figured out the ad issue, so I'm not going to make your ears bleed, hopefully, this week. We'll see.
A duo you need to know about. Have you tried the new cheesy dipping burritos at Taco Bell yet? First, pick out your option of steak or chicken, then begin dipping it in a creamy garlic sauce, or you have your option of many sauces. You can pick sour cream, spicy ranch, avocado ranch, creamy chipotle, guacamole, creamy jalapeno. You've got a nacho cheese sauce, all the options. Colorado Taco Bell has been such a great supporter of not just Buff Stampede Radio, but also just the Buffs athletic program in general. They brought the Buffs box to Colorado locations, most of them at least this past fall, and that was a hit. They were able to include 4 prominent Buffs with an NIL budget there, and they donated $1,000 to the Golden Buffalo Scholarship Fund for every touchdown scored this past season. So that's a total of $32,000. So Taco Bell, keep supporting the Buffs, and we appreciate your support of this podcast. Liv Moss at Taco Bell.
I just noticed there was a Jordan Seaton Cup in that ad, so I'm going to have to revise that before next week.
Yeah, I'd
imagine that Jordan Seaton shirt in your closet's not getting worn anytime soon, huh?
Oh, well, I wear it just for certain things, you know, but
certain things.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chat there.
I'm not even going to ask what those certain things are. I'm going to leave that alone.
Delve into the facts of it. I want to say thanks to Marco for his service. I see what he put on the chat there. And then Lady C Speaks, I like what she had to say about that. A lot of the guys we brought in last year had a lot of toxicity in the locker room. And I think what we brought in this year, every single one of them to me, are leaders on the team they came from, you know? So I think that Coach Prime really learned a lesson from that and is looking for much more character and leadership or what have you. And what we bring in. So I guess we can start talking about those guys if you want.
We will. I'm going to finish off by saying that I walked upstairs the other day after another day of long portal madness coverage. And there were our two oldest boys, Silas and Jackson, eating Taco Bell with my wife. She got the new steak cheesy dippers and, quote, said it was delicious. She got the nacho cheese. Jackson, our middle child, got the Crunchwrap. Silas, he went with the Cantina chicken burrito, Cantina chicken soft taco with extra chicken and a spicy potato soft taco. So we like to support Taco Bell as well. Yeah, we got a lot of guys here to talk about, William.
Yeah, I went in there. I went in last week and I got the same four. I got 4 out of the 5 things from the same box, you know.
Okay.
Except the 7 thing. I didn't get those.
If you could create the perfect Buff box for 26, what would it be?
The 5-layer burrito, the Doritos Loco cheesy gordita crunch thing, chalupa. I like that chalupa sauce, man.
Yeah, then, that is good.
They got this thing called a stacker or something, like some kind of stacker. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Newest additions. Let's see here. First on the list from our last show would be DeAndre Moore Jr. from Texas. He's going to get a little NIL money, William. And this is going to be a very versatile receiver for the Buffs in 2026.
Yeah, well, I think you know, you look at comparisons to previous players, did we win or did we lose? I think DeAndre Moore is at the very least an equal to Omarion Miller, if not more so, frankly, in my view. He come from a place where he was very well coached and worked hard and did a lot of very positive things. And so I think DeAndre Moore, you know, he's I think he's in the top receiver in the portal this year. So that's a hell of an addition. He's got more size than, you know, at 6'6", 190, he's bigger than some of the little time mighty mites we got, but he's still got the speed and everything else. So DeAndre Moore is a huge addition to the team and sort of takes a lot, some of the sting away from, shall we say, other events. Or, and I should say also, one of our posters trapped in Buckeye Land, he said something about who, and you mistook him about not you. And so I've been calling what's his face, he who shall not be named at this point.
Do we put DeAndre Moore Jr. in Penn as a starter at receiver? He's probably the most talented of that group right now, right? But Joseph Williams maybe up there too.
Well, I think a lot of these guys have tremendous talent. You know, Danny Scudero was a finalist for the freaking Biletnikoff, you know. So yeah. I think it's pretty wide open. And I also think that Brennan Marion, being the excellent coordinator that he is, going to tweak his offense a little bit to take advantage of all these guys. So I don't know what we're going to see in terms of one receiver, two receivers. So I think DeAndre Moore is one of the favorites, but I think the talent that we have a wide receiver this year is pretty amazing, you know, and including some of the guys we bring back. I got to roll down to remember who that is, but you know, Joseph Williams at JoJo Williams, you know, I don't know, man. He's a damn good receiver, and I don't think people give him enough respect.
Yeah. Yeah, you're seeing here the other receiver commitments coming in. You mentioned Scudero. Cam Perry, explosive receiver, averaged 22.7 yards per reception last year at Miami of Ohio. And then Ernest Campbell, who is a jitterbug and is going to be a guy with Quentin Gibson that, yeah, you, every time they touch the ball, you're waiting for something exciting,
right? And the speed is crazy, because they're gonna get behind, and you know, they're gonna get behind defenses both because of their speed and because defenses, you know, I watched a lot of film on Marion's deep offense, and they start creeping those safeties up, and they start putting a safety in the box, and they're gonna pay for it.
Yeah, well, the next one was a little bit more under the radar. Tight end Fisher Clements from Northern Colorado comes in 6'7", 255. He's had some nice catches, but hasn't had a ton of production at the FCS level. So you're kind of taking a bit of a flyer here.
Yeah, I think, but there's no, you know, you given the number of spots we have available, and you're not going to have to pay Fisher Clements a bunch of money, but there's no downside, you know. He's 6'7", 255, runs pretty good, seems to have pretty good hands. You know, you're not asking him to come in and be the starter and the star. He's going to back up Zach Atkins. Hopefully, Savelle Smalls is back. And so, you know, maybe at worst, he's third team. We got two freshmen from last year. We'll see what they do. So to me, you know, it's a no-lose situation, right? If he doesn't amount to anything, nothing lost, really. We didn't take him instead of somebody. But at 6'7", 255, and some good athleticism, that's somebody to take a flyer on, you know. I mean, if he can run at all, he's going to be a real mismatch against most defenders.
Yeah. All right, Bo Hewley.
Did we talk about your list on our prep thing? Is a little different with some of our defensive linemen.
What's that?
With your plan, you had Ezra Christensen and. Did we talk about him last time?
We're just going down this story. We'll get to all those guys.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of goes position by position here.
All right.
So 6'7", 295, Hewley played 14 games at Georgia, started at right tackle a couple times in 25. You touched on him a little bit earlier. Anything else you want to add here? It looks like he's going to have two to play two with the Buffs.
Well, and he's 6'7", 295. One of the videos walking on the field after the game, he's remarkably slim. So I think, you know, he's got a lot of room to add weight, you know, and he's one of those guys like Nate Solder that's a little harder to gain weight. He's plenty big enough at 295, but I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, by the end of 2 years, or even if he gets into the next level, and he's got next level talent, but, you know, he's got the ability to get up to 320. Hasn't done it yet, but He's got tremendous athleticism. He's well coached. You know, he knows how to play hard and work hard. Coming out of that Georgia program, you know, you've got to be a dog to get on the field there. So I think he's a great addition and will add both in the locker room and the weight room. And whether it's right tackle or left tackle, he's gonna be in the mix.
And Demetrius Hunter, we talked about earlier in the show, Colorado's most recent commitment. Anything to add here? We talked pretty extensively about him.
Yeah, 6'2", 310. I don't know, basically your prototype size for a center, and got plenty of, you know, has done well. And I don't know, to me, he's like the offensive side of Block Bully 2 years ago. You know, he's played against this conference and done well, so there's no reason not to expect him to do it again.
Cedric Smith from Maryland comes in as a new defensive tackle. He's been bouncing around a little bit ever since he graduated from the Atlanta area in high school. Spent time at South Carolina State, Alabama A&M, joined the Terrapins last year, was a rotational defensive player for them. I would imagine that is kind of the thought. He's going to be a kind of a depth piece, a rotational guy for Colorado in 26.
Yeah, I think he's 6'4", 315, so he's certainly got the size and he's got the athleticism. He's been a bit of an underachiever, I think, so far. But, again, I don't know that we are looking to have, you know, for the last couple of years, aside from Dwank, well, I don't know. You know, I guess we have had a lead couple of guys every year. But I think he's going to be one of those guys that gives us really good reps. And, you know, if you bring in a guy his size off the bench to beat people up, that's a good thing all the way around. Did you want
to go ahead?
Jose Soto? I don't think we talked about him. Isn't he new?
Is he from our last show? Yes, he is. You're right. Good correction there. Played at Sacramento State under Brennan Marion last year. He did not allow a quarterback sack or quarterback hit during conference play. Now, this is the Big Sky, so he's going to be stepping up a level, but this is an O-lineman you could see making a successful transition to guard at the P4 level. You can't bank on that, but it's a good guy to bring in and test him out at this level.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'3", 312, so he's got the size, the question mark. You know, he's got the athleticism, too, from the film, but the question mark that you'll always have with a guy coming up from a lower level is, does he have the hip action and the power to handle the 320-pound animals inside on a defensive line at this level? And again, you know, we got an offense that's offensive line friendly, so you're not asking him to go one-on-one and take on a guy like that and move him. But he's going to know this offense inside and out, you know, so he's got a real advantage in spring from that perspective. So I wouldn't rule him out as a possible starter, and I think he'll be a pretty good lineman at this level.
All right, this is an exciting one. Ezra Christensen from New Mexico State. He was the highest graded defense lineman in Conference USA this past season. He gets a lot of pressure for an interior defense lineman.
Well, he to me is the guy. He reminds me of for God's sakes, the guy brought in a couple years ago from Dartmouth, started for us a couple of years.
Shane Cokes.
Shane Cokes. Yeah, he's Shane Cokes is more talent than me. Great attitude, works hard. And I love Shane Cokes. Don't think for a minute I'm putting him down. I love him as a player and as a leader. I think Ezra Christensen is a leader, but you know, he had last year alone, he had 40 pressures and 6 sacks, which is nuts. Nuts.
Yeah.
I don't care what level you're at. 6'2", 280. I imagine he'll probably be a little bit bigger than that by the time we get to playing. And he's basically unblockable. He's quick as a cat, got great technique, great hands. Basically, the offensive lineman can't ever get into his body, which is exactly what you want a defensive lineman. So I think he's going to be a starter on the defensive line and be a star. You know, a lot of people are after him, Auburn, Baylor, you know, Iowa State, Kentucky with all their money, Notre Dame. So a lot of good teams were after him, and I think Christensen is a real big win for our defensive line is going to be exciting. I'll be very surprised if he's not a starter and a very active guy on our defensive line all season.
And Vili,
come on now.
Tafa Tafua.
Tafa Tafua. Got it. We're there.
Yep.
And he's another one. I enjoy him. He's from New Zealand, you know, grew up up doing the haka, and he's really he is, and you know, we say this a lot of times as a we throw it out there to him, but he really is a warrior, this guy, and he plays like it. Just plays like his hair is on fire all the time. You know, had 15 and a half sacks as a true freshman. Good almighty, you know. So I think he's a guy, you know, 6'3", 260. And I'm looking at all these various different edge guys, and we got some of the guys at 260, 265. And I'm wondering if we're going to do something a little bit different on the defensive line this year. But Taufa Tafua is a guy who could play that five technique, play the three technique a little bit, play from the end. And I think he's a very versatile player, and it's going to be exciting to watch play.
A lot of edge guys who had already committed since our last or before this show. We talked about them already.
Right.
I don't think I'm skipping by. The next guy I think on the list that is new is cornerback Emery Floyd, coming in from App State. He also visited Arizona before committing to the Buffs. Was honorable mention All Sun Belt last season, and good size, 6'1", 195. You've seen them bring some size in at that cornerback position.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Prime seems to like, is those tall, long defensive backs. You know, Emery Floyd was a guy who was a four-star coming out of high school and started out of South Carolina and then went to App State. And App State's a good program if people don't know much about it. Appalachian State, it's in Western North Carolina. And they always have tough guys. And so I think he's a guy, he's gonna be in that cornerback rotation. Could be a starter, I don't know. But I like the guys we brought in, and he's certainly got the size that you want out there. And, you know, him and, you know, Cree Thomas, we talked about before last time, but he's 6'3", 190, and then this kid's 6'1", 95. And so we got some good size out there. I'd like to see us get him a couple more cornerbacks for depth and whatever. But Emery Floyd, I think, is a good one.
We talked about Boo Carter, and on the last show, if memory serves, yeah. William, we both kind of thought that this was a guy you take a chance on, given that you've put an emphasis on the locker room this offseason. We've talked about a lot of guys that have shown a lot of character and been known as leaders at their past place. If the culture is there, and I brought this up with Brian Howell on an analysis video earlier this week, like they had 2 years ago, a Juwan Mitchell can't screw that up. And you hope Boo Carter doesn't go the Juwan Mitchell route. I'm not saying that's his sentence here, but you're not as worried about one guy maybe being a little bit more of a kind of a question mark in that sense.
No, and I think you know, Boo Carter has very nearly Tyler Hunter kind of skills in the secondary. I mean, he and as a kick returner or whatever, I mean, Boo Carter is a top level talent. And I have to imagine, you know, that he sat down, you know, face to face with Coach Prime, and they talked, and Coach Prime came away feeling like he can bring this guy in and make a difference in his life, which I think is important. But I think Boo Carter is certainly a guy you take a chance on, maybe a little bit shorter lease than everybody else, but maybe it's also time for him to grow up, you know, maybe he will come in and take some of that leadership, but he's an unquestionable talent in the defensive backfield, and also an special teams guy. I mean, he's NFL caliber talent if he can get his head right.
Yeah, we know Coach Prime is not going to coach any guys with kid gloves, right?
Right.
And so, right. For Boo Carter, this is probably the best spot for you to be right now.
Yeah, come in here and play for a guy, first of all, that knows position, but also has your best interest in mind, is going to play a little tough on you, you know. So. I think it's a great addition. I think it's an exciting addition. And you know, like a lot of things in life, we've got to wait and see how it plays out. But again, you know, the potential, this one, like the tight end we talked about, Fisher Clemens, there's no downside. There's potential downside here, but the potential upside is astronomical.
Yeah. If he does what he needs to do off the field and in between the lines in practice, he's going to be their starting nickelback in 26.
Yeah. And a game changer. I mean, I was trying to come up with the words, but you know, he's going to have interceptions and passes broken up and all kinds of things in that role.
The things that we were, I'm not trying to pick on him, but like Carter Stottmeyer, that's what we were waiting on for three years, was that to show up, and it never did.
Yeah. You know, and he's going to do things, you know, he's going to do some of those crazy Travis Hunter kind of things in the on the defensive side.
I'm excited about for this one too. Brandon Fontenette from Vanderbilt. I see him as a starter, as kind of their box safety this year.
I think he's potentially one of the most exciting guys in the entire transfer portal for us. I don't think people understand what this guy brings to the table. You know, I think he's a huge upgrade over Taufik Byard, and I thought very highly of Byard. I think Fontenette's bigger, he's faster. I think you can use him in a variety of roles. I talk about that box safety. I think he can play the regular safety. I think he can come up and play a linebacker, an outside linebacker role, a pass rusher. This guy does everything. I don't know. He just has just been fantastic, and he's playing in the SEC, so he's been playing against top talent. I don't know. You know, I think that he's super exciting to me, and gives you the opportunity to do things with him because of his abilities and size, whatever, that you can't do with a lot of regular safeties.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, you could look at him as an outside linebacker with safety skills. I don't know how, you know. You put him up on the edge for pass rushing, and a lot of tackles going to struggle with this dude.
Yep. Let's go down the eligibility chart real quick here, William. Quarterback, maybe another walk-on arm for practice purposes.
Yeah, and we're going to talk. Let me get down there. Hold on. We're going to talk a little bit. You want to talk about Kenneal Sweetwine now?
We can, yeah. Colorado got a new addition from the prep ranks. He's going to be a late signee for the Colorado Buffaloes and going to be the kind of third guy, I would probably say. If maybe Dominic Ponder battles for that third spot as well. But Kenneal Sweetwine is going to come in and develop a little bit. But I like his tape. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean he's a legit prospect. You know, he was going to go to North Carolina State, which is Power Four. He had an offer from BYU, which is big time. He's 6'3", 200. You know, he was a 3-star, 86 composite. So he's a legit quarterback prospect, and I think he's a guy. You know, you don't expect him to come in and beat out Juju Lewis, but he's certainly a guy that you can develop for the future. I think this guy, he's not some, you know, out of the blue wild walk-on. I mean, he's a legit quarterback addition to our freshman class, you know, and I think he's got legit opportunities to play and do something here. You know, I think obviously, you know, Isaac Wilson comes in and provides us the opportunity for a experienced backup, and then Sweetwine and Ponder give us sort of those emergency guys, plus, you know, two guys that can run scout team if that's how it plays out as well.
Running back, I think you need to get one more scholarship guy there. I get to six, and it sounds like that's going to be the plan there. Receiver, I think you look just fine there. I think that's a great group.
Well, I think running back looks. I think running back needs another body in there, but I really like what we've got in terms of the different skill sets that they bring. DeKalen Taylor is ridiculously fast. You know, Henderson and Smith have both been successful in this offense. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Simeon Price and Michael Wells can do in this offense. I think they could be electric, you know. Simeon Price could be a 1,000-yard back in this offense. So we'll see how that goes. But wide receiver is pretty loaded, like we talked about earlier. We got a bunch of Ferraris on this team now. And it's just going to be a matter of who gets playing time and makes the plays. You know, I mean, you know, a couple guys we haven't talked about is Quentin Gibson and Quinnell Farrakhan, who were legit players, you know. So I think that's an exciting group right there.
Depending on Savelle Small, is probably not likely to come back at this point. Do you take another tight end there?
I think we need a couple of them, frankly. I'm not satisfied. I think Zach Atkins is going to improve substantially, and I do think tight end is far more important in this offense. But you know, one of the things about tight ends is you don't have to have an all-world tight end. You don't have to have an NFL draft pick tight end in this offense to be successful, which is why I think Fisher Clements is a guy who can help us out. But they do got to be able to block, and they do got to be able to find those holes in the zones and whatever. But I don't think you have to have superstar tight ends, but I'd like to see a couple more guys in there for competition value. You know, I'm not sure. I'd like if we go double tight ends, I'm not sure any of those other three guys is the other tight end I want across from Zach Atkins at this point.
On the O-line, assuming that Zaire McGill and Kareem Harden don't get that ruling to be able to come back, you need another tackle. Somebody that's had maybe some experience at left tackle. Do you need more than one more guy here?
Oh yeah, we need. I think we still need a couple of interior guys. I like Chauncey and Yaya. I think are fantastic. I like Jose Soto. I like Demetrius Hunter. But I'd like to see another inside guy. I think we got a lot of tackle prospects out there. I don't know what else is who we're after in the board in the portal yet, but I would like to see another top high level inside guy to come in and provide competition. You know, if we get another guy that's got a couple of years of playing time at guard, that'd be fantastic. So I'd like to see at least two guys more on the offensive line. Okay. One tackle type, one interior type.
It's going to defense here. You've got defensive line, edge, linebacker, and corner, all with seven scholarship guys right now. How many do they need to add at these four spots?
Two or three. Well, let's not talk about four spots. Let's talk about the interior. I think we need two more on the interior, and they got to be 300-pound type guys. I think we got three of them now, maybe or four, Cedric Smith, Dylan Manuel, Ezra Christensen, Tyler Moore, are close to the 300-pound guys. And Joe Pecco, I can't forget him at 310, but he's a true freshman, so you don't want to count too much on that. But I'd like to see another couple of guys because you saw how we went into camp last year, both of us thinking we had eight guys that could play, and they just got decimated by injury. So yeah. I'd like to see a couple more big guys. You know, I'm a little concerned about Hopper and Tafoa playing those defensive tackle spots at 265 so I'd like to see a little more size in there.
At edge, I think everybody's hoping that Blake Purchase, Colorado, somebody from Colorado that went to Cherry Creek and went to Oregon, that's in the portal now, is going to consider the Buffs. That would be a nice cap on this if that indeed happens, because I think you need one more guy there.
Yeah, you know, I'd like him to be a top level guy, you know, so I think that's a. I think there's some guys there that are very exciting to take a look at. Quincy Wiggins, I still got hope for that guy. If he doesn't have to play defensive tackle, I think he could be special out there. I mean, in the first couple of games when he was playing that edge, he was beating up some linemen. So we got some guys there. I'd like to see it. Yeah, like you say, Blake Purchase is an instant starter to me if we bring him in. So I'd like to see another really high level guy. You know, we talked about, we didn't take Andrew Zock, and he went to Toledo. And I would say that, I guess he waited too long and we're going a different direction.
At linebacker, one more for depth purposes.
Yeah, and competition still. I think the starters, if you look at that group, the obvious starters are Gideon Lamprin and Leona Leifau with Tyler Martinez as the number three guy. And then it all depends on Kylan Salter, whether he develops or not. But, you know,
I'm throwing Carson Crawford in there, man. That kid's getting on the field somehow this year.
Yeah, he'll play, and Rodney Colton will be ready to go this year too, more in terms of depth purposes. But that's a position I'd like to see another couple guys, if we can get some guys with some experience in there as well. I don't want to rush Crawford, but he's also a guy that seems to have that natural instinct and can make plays. So I'd still like to see a couple guys at inside linebacker for sure.
At cornerback, they're expected to add one more talented player at that position. It won't be Smith Snowden. He announced that he's committing to Michigan, or that he's headed to Michigan. But they're going to add another guy here, and eight scholarship guys at cornerback with some added size there with Emery Floyd and Cree, yeah. Thomas, and Justin Anglin has got some experience. RJ Johnson was starting to get better until he got hurt last year. Makari Vickers, kind of a rough road for him last year, but you saw a little bit of potential there. So right. I like this group.
Cree Thomas, I like a lot, but I'd still like to see a couple of guys in there, because you never really know until you get into gameplay sometimes with some of these cornerbacks.
Yeah.
What they're going to
end up. I could see Preston Ashley being the backup nickelback this year behind Bukowski.
Yeah, I think he's a guy, and Maurice Williams, I think, is an underrated incoming guy as well, so could give some snaps in there at different kind of positions on the defensive backfield. But I'd like to see another couple guys at the defensive backs.
There are six safeties currently on board. Two of them are true freshmen. And I do like Braylon Edwards' film a whole great deal. But you talk about Boo Carter playing nickel. I mean, you've got to add a couple bodies here. You can't go into spring ball with six scholarship guys at this position.
No, and Nathan Mitchell's kind of little, so you worry about his body absorbing all the punishment. Finiseth, we all know what he brings, and I like him as a player, but I think we need a couple more guys at safety too. I don't think we're done with the portal by any means.
Long snapper transfer Trey Young from the JUCO ranks is on board. Let's get your full 5-minute breakdown here, William.
Yeah. Well, if we never hear his name again, then he's doing a good job. It's hard to speak about a long snapper without being on the field with him. You know, if I could watch him snap five times, I'll tell you whether he's got it or not. But you know, it's hard to tell that from a long distance video.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back on the other side of this break, and we're going to close out the show. We're going to maybe talk about some of the remaining targets. We talked about Brooks and maybe Blake Purchase, and we'll talk about a few other guys.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
Do we do okay, William? Do we have any ears bleeding out there during these ad reads today?
No, I think it's good. They're much better. We figured out the problem. So
okay,
no
good, problems. Good, good.
One of the things they're chatting about on the message board is coaching and changes in coaching and value and importance of coaching and upgrades. And I think I want to weigh in on that very quickly. I think we did have problems with coaching quite clearly. Our offensive coordinator held us back the last couple of years in significant ways. And I think that hurts. You know, you look at where a lot of the guys that are leaving are winding up, and we had talent. You know, we had some talent. They weren't getting coached well. It's a little surprise. Well, okay, I'd like to throw this one out there. It's kind of surprising to me to see where our backup quarterback from last year,
Ryan Staub
is getting looked at. That's kind of shows
he's going. He's going to LSU now. Next, it sounds like.
I know, it's crazy. He was at Notre Dame, and you know, like, here's a guy's 13 quarterback, and look at the value. It just shows you the value of quarterbacks, even backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm happy for him. I really
am. Yeah, because he's a good guy, and I think he stuck it out for a long time, and so I hope everything works out for him. But I think you can't overstate the importance of, you know, we had piss poor coaching at linebacker, and I think we got that fixed with Coach Marv. You know, I think you can't overstate how bad Pat Shurmur was for this team as a whole, frankly. And I think that's going to be a big change, both in the mentality and how this offense plays, as well as, you know, the scheme and all that sort of stuff. But I think we got the players. Now we got to see if the coaches can meld them into a group. I think you and I just talked about there's still some needs left, and we got actually quite a bit of time still to fill some of those needs in the portal, you know, for summer, not so much for spring ball. But hopefully we'll see a few more guys in the next week or this week or whatever.
Yeah, there's not going to be a spring transfer window, but there will be guys that will be graduate transfers at that point. Right. So the roster will be mostly settled going into spring ball, but there'll be some changes here and there. You got a question here from the chat, William, from Marco Martinez. He asked, the injury bug hits this team quite a bit. Is it just the nature of the sport, or is it something that the coaching staff is causing? I would like your opinion on this topic.
Well, I think we've been discussing that on the Stampede board a little bit, and I don't have enough information on what the injuries are. I don't know when they happened. I don't know what they are. You know, were they contact injuries? Were they non-contact injuries? You know, are they all shoulders? Are they all knees? You know, they're very, very quiet and secretive about the injuries in this program. So I don't know that we have enough information. One of the questions in my mind is, it something Andrew Swayze. It's not something Patrick Swayze's doing. I know that for sure. is it something that's happening wrong in the strength and conditioning program? I don't know. Is there something wrong about the practice? I don't know, you know, because quite frankly, I don't have enough information about what the injuries are and when they happen, because those are important things. You know, if a bunch of injuries are happening when they're lifting, if a bunch of injuries are happening without getting hit, that's problematic. But I don't see that there's anything all that different. Obviously, we had a different strength and conditioning coach, but what I saw from last summer looked good to me, looked appropriate to me. I without any further information, I have to assume at this point it was just a bad season, bad luck.
Yeah, I actually talked to a couple strength and conditioning people that are not associated with Colorado, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And the response is it's too small of a sample size for any type of pointing a finger at the strength staff at this point, right, based on one season. So it happens again, a little bit more of a concern, obviously.
Right.
At this point, I thought that Andrew Swayze did a good job with this group. Now, the leadership and all that stuff didn't come organically together the way we wanted to. And I kind of want that strength program to cultivate that. It looked on video like it was doing that. But until you really hit adversity, I mean, hit some adversity with workouts, and it's not fun. But until you start having negativity from the outside when you start losing football games, you really don't know how strong your locker room is.
And the other issue that's kind of come up in the recent, very recent weeks is how many of these injuries were really injuries and how many of them were guys just quitting? And I don't know the answer to that, but it's mostly
injuries, but there was some of that other stuff too.
Yeah. There was. Yeah. Yeah. Protect themselves. I don't know, whatever, you know? So I think there's way too many question marks about all the injuries this year to say one way or the other. It's concerning that so many defensive tackles got hurt. Does that say something about what Joe Pecco's doing? Again, I don't know. And I don't have enough information on when those things happened. But like Adam said, you can't really answer that question until you put a couple or three seasons together, you know?
Well, remember what's his name came over from Stanford, and the name will come to me at some point.
Foreman.
No. Dave Foreman was the first one. The more decorated.
Oh, yeah. Keep talking. I'm
starting to get old too, William. It's happening. Yeah. Right here, live on BSR.
Yeah, the guy that really built the Stanford program.
Yeah. He had an amazing track record at Stanford of preventing injuries. He came to Colorado and really didn't replicate it. It wasn't like an unmitigated disaster. There were other issues that were a bigger problem with that staff under Carl Durrell. But, it wasn't the same track record that he had when, he was at Stanford.
Right. I almost had it. Times change too, you know, and what worked for Stanford in the 90s may not be what works in college football today, you know, and it says something. I almost had it again. That guy's coaching at a high school here in Denver now.
Shannon Turley.
Yeah.
I did have to Google it, so I'm not saying it just popped in my head. So.
Yeah, so that's a big drop in his career, which speaks to something. I can't say what all the causations are, but
it's hard to leave Colorado when you get settled in out here, isn't it? You know, we've seen that with Mike Sanford. Mike Sanford's made a great situation for himself here.
Yeah. So I don't know. As far as the injuries go, I think it's there's just not enough information. I hope they're taking a hard look at it, both in the training room and in the strength and conditioning and coaching rooms, you know, but I don't have personally enough information about what those injuries are to know.
One other last thing, we talked about Jordan Seaton hitting the portal. Carter Stottmeyer and Isaiah Harge also entered the portal. I get it from Harge's standpoint. You know, it's especially when you bring in a Boo Carter, it's going to be tough for him to, you know, get a starting job here. And he's been – he's another one of those guys I think, like, wherever he ends up, you're still rooting for, right?
Yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, I think he and Draylon Miller were both hyped as, you know, two-way guys, and neither one of them ever really established an identity at either side of the ball. So, you know, we'll see where they wind up. And it's interesting. Some of these guys are winding up much higher than I expected in terms of where they – just the level where they wind up. And then some of them are dropping down significantly more than I would have thought. And then others are right where I thought they would go, you know.
Yeah. It's been kind of a mixed bag there. Cam Michael is one of the guys that has kind of seen his stock drop here.
You're talking about the number two
athlete in the country a couple of years ago.
Right. And where do you want to have Memphis? Maybe I think is
something. Is like that where he's going? He hasn't committed yet. Got Dallin Hayden that's going to Memphis.
Memphis, right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking was Dallin Hayden, you know, this big star going to be at Ohio State. And now he's at Memphis. It's interesting how that plays out. You know, I love that Tyler Brown's at James Madison because I think he'll do great there.
Yeah.
I'm excited for him. Great guy. You know, that guy's going to be a success, man. You know, he may not make millions in football, but he's going to be a successful human being. That's what matters.
Yeah, I actually reached out to him after he hit the portal and just shared that. I really appreciated the way he handled himself in Boulder because you know, it was a tough deal, especially that first year not getting a chance to play. And then, you know, this past year just being a good teammate. I have a lot of respect for him. Where do you think Carter Stoutmeyer ends up, like in terms of level? If you're a group of five, that's an easy offer, right? But if you're a power four coach, are you extending an offer there?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think he belongs at this level. I think he's shown that. I think he's a guy that would thrive at the lower level. You know, I mean, frankly, Jackson State, something like that would be a great option for him, I think. I think he's just not really kind of cut out for this level. Somebody in the chat asked, did we just skim over to Seton stuff? No, we went into pretty detailed depth.
I think we went 20 minutes on Seton at least, maybe a half an hour at the beginning. Yeah. So we're going to end the show here pretty soon, and you can go back and watch the beginning. We tried to cover that from all the angles we could, I feel like. I mean, there's only a certain amount you're going to belabor something like that, right? I mean, we got 11 new guys that have joined the Buffaloes since our last show. I'm not going to spend an hour and 15 minutes talking about just one guy.
Right. And it's been beat into the ground anyway. So, I'm excited about the guys we brought in. I think that we're going to bring in more guys still. You know, we talked a minute ago about the positions that still need some guys. So, I think at this point, I think we've pretty much rebuilt the team, and now you're at the point where you're plugging in the last few spots that need to be shored up a little bit.
Sounds like there's going to be a top level corner coming in, and probably another running back. And then can you get a left tackle that is not going to be to Jordan Seaton's level because you don't want to have to pay that. That's the problem, you know.
If we get the kid from Texas, I'm good at tackle.
Yeah, I mean, safety, you still got to fill in that. I'm a little bit worried about just the numbers there.
And a couple big defensive tackles, you know, I don't know what's still out there. But there's a lot of guys still out there in the portal that haven't decided, and so we'll see. And then we'll have some graduates and whatever. So,
well, to close out the show, William. If I told you back on January 2nd and showed you the list of commits and that in the outgoing guys, that includes Jordan Seaton and some of these other guys, you know, Taufik Byard, I think he announced back in December. But if you saw just kind of the overall transfer tracker that's on BuffStampede.com right now, back on January 2nd and said, would you take this 12 days from now? What would be your answer?
I don't know what I would have said back then, but looking at it now and having had time to kind of look at all the guys we brought in and digest some of these players and stuff, I think we came out ahead. I think we improved this team significantly, both in terms of talent and in terms of leadership and quality of the person coming in, you know. And I think they put a premium on guys that were leaders and captains on teams. And I think I would have been pretty shocked back on January 1st or 2nd that Seton was gone. But that being said, I don't think it's a huge loss either. So I think that we brought in a lot of really good guys, and now it's on the coaches to put them together as a team. But I'm very positive about what we've done in this transfer portal, and I don't think we're done.
Yeah. Not downplaying the importance of the left tackle position by any means, but if you're Colorado, you can't spend more than $1.5 million a year on that position.
Well, and I'm going to downgrade. I'm going to downplay it a little bit because we're not playing that offense anymore. The value of a left tackle in modern football is for a drop back passing offense to protect the blind side. We're not that offense. We don't need that guy.
Yeah. So I don't know how many our next show. How many new guys do you think we're going to be talking about? Probably half a dozen.
Yeah, I hope. You know, I hope six to ten somewhere in there. You know, so hopefully. But I think it's, somebody's taken offense with me there. I don't know what that's about, but, I think there's still some holes to fill. I think I'm excited about it. You know, I think we touched on this early on, but we're talking on the Stampede board about, you know, is the game still fun? And I don't know, I've been having fun the last couple of weeks. It's exciting to me. I got a whole new bunch of guys to figure out and decide whether how they can play, you know, watch in the weight room and see how they come together and see who comes out as leaders and whatever. So I don't know. It's still fun to me.
It definitely creates good content for us during the off season, having this many new guys join the mix, because we've only scratched the surface with these guys. We're going to go way more in depth as we got to get through this madness part of it, to where all the news is just flooding in. Right. Catch our breaths, come back, find some good film on these guys, and so we're gonna have a lot of fun BSR lives here.
You think about a few weeks ago, in those last 2 weeks before the portal opened, and the despair and the darkness, and I'm surprised people weren't hanging from rafters by ropes, you know. And it sort of sucked to have that whole period when guys were announcing they're leaving and nobody coming in. And I hope for most people, they look at it now and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, William. Let's connect again soon. And these are always a good time.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to the next one.
All right. And thanks to everybody out there for tuning in. We'll see you on our next show.